VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's the Saturday morning before Christmas, and all through the house, financial planners are doing radio. As usual, at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here live as always, and I'm going to make the public announcement right now. We will also be here live next week, or at least part of it will, and Adam will be phoning in from parts unknown, and we will be, as I say, live and up to date, and it will be the last show of the year, which really, I think, is one of the most exciting times when you can start to wrap up and then look forward, because so far, it's been quite a year.
It really has.
This week, there are three major indices that people like to follow, including us, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ, and there were five trading days, so there were five closes. So three indices times five closes is 15 chances to set new records, but we only got 13 of them. Isn't that unbelievable?
Mm-hmm.
3-3-2-3-3 or some crazy thing like that. It's just astounding, and it's for the right reasons instead of the wrong reasons. We sailed through the, quote, impeachment, and the market didn't even blink because they're too busy looking at the economy and this spending by the consumers and on and on and on. Things are just good out there. And that really makes me happy, because why not have things be good around Christmas time?
So why not?
Here we are. Yeah. Well, you get the smile off your face long enough to discuss what really happened, and your 401ks are smiling, I'll tell you that.
No doubt about it. We almost had another 1,000-point move on an index this week, but it wasn't the Dow.
Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
It's getting close to crossing the 9,000 mark on the back of a year it has seen rise almost 35%.
Are you old enough to remember the old high on March 15th, 2000? I think it was 5608. It's a number that sticks
in
mind.
Okay, yeah. I can tell you on March 9th of 2009, the NASDAQ was at 1,268. And it is up over 600% since that day.
In 02, when I first got into radio, one of the first predictions I made was that it would take years for the NASDAQ to reach its old high.
Well, it did.
Oh, I was right. Absolutely right. But now I'll make another prediction.
You got to think about when they're going to double that previous high.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to predict that next year we will see a five-digit NASDAQ.
Wow. Okay.
It's not that far away.
No, it's not.
And percentage-wise, of course, it's a lot less than the 1,000 we just gained.
That's true. It's pretty incredible that is what we're seeing. But that's the case. And this week contributed another 2.2% to lead all the indexes that was on the NASDAQ. Mm-hmm. It was a great week all around, though, with the S&P up 1.7% and the Dow up 1.1%. Fourth quarter has been nothing short of amazing. The Dow is up 7%. The S&P up the quarter to date is up 9.5%. And the NASDAQ is up 11.5%. That's just this quarter.
That is quite astounding. Oh, by the way, I wanted to throw this other comment in about the NASDAQ, too. Back in 2000, it had risen on false factors.
Yes.
Growth rate.
Click rates.
Yeah, exactly. Things that
were burn rate.
they were not intrinsic value. Companies have intrinsic value if they're going to be valued high over the long run. This NASDAQ is based on what they're doing. They're making money. They're making products, and they're growing the right way, and their intrinsic value is very high. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, for sure. This is nothing like that NASDAQ. No. I was in business school at that time, and the ways that people were valuing companies that had no revenue, they were pre-revenue, were just completely made up, as it turns out, and false, and pretty bad.
They went searching for new ways to value a company when they should have stuck to the old way, because the real value
was zero. Yeah, and we found that out later than that. So
when you got to invent a term like burn rate to say, here's the day you're going to run out of cash.
Right.
You know you're in trouble.
Yes, that is not a good sign, nor is it a way to value a company.
No.
But the good thing is this rally is being fueled by the market's seeming approval of the China deal, improving economic data, the Fed's neutral stance, the housing market rebounding from 2018, the continued benefit of the tax cuts, a robust job market, and Pelosi's new USMCA agreement. That was nice of her to come up with that.
Well, she said it was a lousy deal until she wrote it.
Exactly.
And as Trump tweeted back on that one, she doesn't even know what's in there.
Well, you got to pass it to find out what's in it.
Exactly. Everybody knows that.
So can this bull market continue in 2019? I think it can, but there's a few things that need to happen in 2020 for the market to sustain its gains. Continue in 2020. Sorry, I said 2019.
Yeah.
The most important potential driver of the economy for 2020 is the consumer. The consumer needs to see continued wage growth in the 3 to 4% range, preferably more around 4%, and then keep spending at an increasing pace. They say the consumer is the engine that drives the economy, and there is no reason this should be any different in 2020. In November, personal income rose 0.5% compared to the estimate of 0.3%, plus there was a revision to a prior month, bringing the total gain to 0.6% positive. Personal consumption then rose by 0.4%, which matched expectations. Personal income is now up 4.9% in the last year, while spending has increased by 3.9%. That's a solid number, but as Americans, I know we can do better. When we make five,
we should be able to get to 5%.
Yeah, when we make 5% more than the prior year, we're supposed to spend 10% more than we did the prior year. That's the American way.
Absolutely.
In all seriousness, if you turn on the news, you will hear about how different types of debt are at an all-time high. That's actually true for auto loans and mortgages and things of that nature. However, if you look at this debt as a percentage of American income, debt is at the lowest level in several decades, or right off the lowest level. Mm-hmm. It turns out that we are delevering our balance sheets as a percentage of income, and we're actually putting more money into savings than we have in years past.
And still, we have enough leftover money to fuel an economy that's driven 70% by consumer.
That's right. So I would argue that you'd be hard-pressed to find people that this economy is not working for. Those are all very positive signs.
Oh, then you weren't paying attention this week. Bernie and Joe.
That's true. I was not.
They all told you, no, it's not working for everybody.
That's right. The second thing that must happen for this bull market to continue next year is that we need to see an increased consumer spending flow through to corporate revenues and profits. If a strong holiday shopping season is reflected in the fourth quarter earnings numbers, those will start coming out in January. That would be a big driver of the stock market heading into 2020.
Agreed.
There are a couple of headwinds to that, as this holiday season is extremely short, with Thanksgiving falling so late this year. The other is the weakness in the manufacturing sector that we've been seeing in the second half of 2019. It's possible the uncertainty surrounding the trade deals was weighing on the manufacturing sector, and now that could all go away. But that's not a guarantee. A persistent slowdown in manufacturing would be a real problem for the stock market headed into 2020. However, a rebound would be a catalyst.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of economic data that will be improved starting now with the initial Chinese deal, because so many corporate decisions have been put off and put off and put off due to the uncertainties in the trade, both with Brexit and China. And now it looks like Brexit's going to get done. It looks like China's going to get signed in phase one anyway. That will mean that a lot of money that's been sitting on the shelf at the corporation's boardrooms, a lot of that's going to get released to projects. So it may be that some of that really doesn't hit till the fourth quarter, but it'll be fine one way or the other, I think, because a lot of people spending a lot of money out there.
That is, there's no doubt about it. The numbers prove it.
Yep. All right. We will have a trivia question right after the break, so don't go anywhere. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And I want to welcome everybody who's sitting in the line on Butler trying to get off into the town center. Just keep the radio on. We'll be done before you get there.
It's very possible.
Should have seen it last week going home. Oh, my gosh.
The traffic this week in general was just awful.
It's abysmal. We do have Marshall on the line. I'm going to get to him in a second, but just to be fair, I want to give out the trivia question, which is, of course, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904 636-7888. And you can call us, as Marshall did, at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Oh, the big budget deal was passed and signed this week in D.C. So I did a D.C. wealth thing. Of the nation's 20 wealthiest counties, how many are in the D.C. suburbs? And I'm going to have a hard, fast, correct number on that one, because guessing or the proverbial range, not good enough for me today. Picky on Christmas. Good morning, Marshall.
I'll give you a wild guess. What was your maximum number?
Of the 20 wealthiest, how many are in the D.C. suburbs?
Seven.
You are very, very good at this, but you're not quite good enough. You're a little low.
That's good. Well, I don't mean to put Adam on the spot.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. He's up to it.
But he and I attended an economic conference.
We did?
And there was a graphic that I saw and did not get a copy of, and it was a graph that showed three levels of personal income. An upper level, I can't remember the definition, a medium level, and a lower level. Mm-hmm. And lower level were your blue collar. And that graph was unbelievably, just it stood out so much.
Let me guess, the line level on the lower one was rising faster than the line on the upper one.
Well, the top one was fairly flat.
It was flat. It was basically flat.
The middle one was like, you know, you and me riding a bicycle up a small hill, okay? Mm-hmm. The one at the bottom, I mean, I've seen F-16s take off, you know, that weren't as steep as that. I mean, it was just, and I thought, if there is ever a Karl Rove blackboard example to use,
that would be it, huh?
That would get people's attention, you know, over a lot of the screaming. Adam, do you remember what he was graphing, the guy was graphing?
What that was an actual graph of? I believe it was just change in annual wages or monthly wages.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it was growth in annual wages.
Yeah. And that's why the lower level one had been flat to declining for a long time.
20 years.
And then all of a sudden, a few years ago, it looks like it got on the fast train.
Yeah, if you look at the unemployment stats, high school and non-high school, the very lowest educational levels out there, they're as employed as everybody else nowadays. And they're making some money.
One other item that stood out to me from that meeting, the lady from Jack USA Partnerships was talking about how the chamber with the local economic development group is working with the Naval Air Rework Facility folks over at Mainside to train 100 new people to learn aircraft mechanic work.
Good.
Every year, because they have to replace all these older guys that are retiring.
Yep.
So they need 5 years of bringing in 100. Just think about this. If you were a 20-something-year-old that fit their minimum educational incoming abilities, to have that kind of training, because those are really good-paying jobs, and that is a high-demand job in this market.
Yeah, exactly.
Car mechanics make a lot of money. Imagine what airplane mechanics make.
Exactly, and you can imagine. I mean, if you want to talk about a prototypical blue-collar, middle-class wage, that type of job would provide that. I mean, that is just absolutely perfect for what people talk about that is no longer exists in this country, but it does exist, and there's a big need for it.
Imagine what the benefits package would look like.
It'd be fantastic, I would imagine.
Job security, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, truly, out of that whole thing, I, Adam, I don't know if you have other comments, but my whole feeling was we are living in a community in the 7-county area that they cover there that is having good growth, not stupid growth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And is also being very attractive to millennials.
Yeah, that was the surprising thing.
Most attractive markets for millennials looking for a job. So I thought, just thank you for remembering what that was.
Absolutely. That was, I really, it was interesting because I did not know that about one of the things that kept me away from Jacksonville for a period of my life when I was the age that millennials are now was there was no jobs for people like me in Jacksonville. And now that has completely done a 180, and there's lots of jobs for people in that 20 and young 30s age groups. And they're flocking here, apparently. I didn't realize that, but it is, according to the chamber, that is one of the fastest growing demographics in Jacksonville.
Well, drive down any road and count the number of new apartments that are being built. Mm-hmm. Somebody's occupying those things. So I'm not that surprised.
There's been a lot of other really good things for Jacksonville, but all the naysayers who were saying the investment that the town made on rebuilding the Gator Bowl for the Jaguars,
mm-hmm.
just take a look at what time frame it was that that came to this market and then growth came to our market. They're the same.
Well, they put us on the map.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And well, thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Well, you have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and we'll look forward to talking to you either next week or next year, one or the other.
And be careful spoiling those grandkids, Pop.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that. His father does it just fine.
Thanks, Marshall. Have a Merry care. Christmas.
Miss Cheryl.
Hi there. I want to take a wild guess.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll guess 10.
You are also very good at this, but you're too high.
Oh my God, now we got it boxed in.
You got a bracket.
You bracketed this about as well as it can be done. Almost as well. So we appreciate it. You
Thank
have a Merry
you.
Christmas. Thanks for calling. All right. You want to wrap up anything else on the...
I just had one more thing.
Okay, good.
Let me find it real quick. What was it? Sorry.
All right. While you're...
I got it. Okay,
good.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention that... Lastly, a lot of people think that because the market had such a great year, that we won't have a good year next year. But it's actually the opposite.
Historically,
yeah. So someone, MarketWatch, went back over the last 70 years, and in years that followed years that gained 20% or more, the market was up 75% of the time, and the average increase was 8.9%. So
I'll take it right now, sight unseen.
I would absolutely take that deal.
Good morning, George.
Good morning.
What do you know?
Wild guess on your question, 8-8.
Well, I'll tell you what. You had two chances, and you took the wrong one. Sorry about that.
Okay.
You have a Merry Christmas. Thanks for the call. That's the old coin toss there, I guess, huh? After, as I said, there were 13... records out of 15 chances this week. So, you know me, I love to search headlines and see what people are saying or not saying, because quite frankly, you know, the old-fashioned three lies, white lies, damn lies, and statistics, the fourth type of lie is the fastest growing type of lie and has been for many, many years in the media, and that's the lie of omission. So on Thursday, after we'd had a bunch of records, I looked and I found one thing that was interesting, but nothing about records in the market. But there was something that was supposed to happen on Wednesday. I was really starting very hard to look at this because of the date. Hang on a second. We have another. Good morning, George.
Good morning. I had a question besides.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to step in your way.
That's all right. I have quite a bit of cash on the sidelines. You were getting into that just a few minutes ago about the future.
Uh-huh.
Do you have any sectors that look good in the future?
Yes. I don't think you can go wrong with the increase in technology. It has been big, but it drives pretty much everything else nowadays. So I would always begin a discussion with that's probably good. Financials should look good if all the money keeps flowing the way it is. I would think that would be a really viable sector. And a couple things that have been sort of lagging, such as healthcare, just started to rear its ugly head again, and from an investor standpoint, it looks pretty good. You got any other?
I mean, those are the three that are probably popular picks.
How's international?
International? Yeah, if you buy the right international fund, right. I don't like buying the international index. I think there's too many spots in the world that are weak right now. But if you look at more specific, or you buy an actively managed fund, I think international is a great spot to be right now.
We don't like to recommend individual funds on air, but if you shoot us an email at the office, we'll send you a couple of ideas, because there are some that are much better than others, but some of them have some peculiarities in them that you'll want to know about. But if you do that, fine. Otherwise, I think we've covered a pretty good group of them. All right, I got about 9 seconds. I need to run. Thanks again. Sorry for interrupting. All right, we'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And first off, trivia question's still out there, and we've got it bracketed. So if anybody wants a cheap Christmas present, that's it. I see the phone ringing right now.
That was easy.
See that? All I had to do was send a little nudge out. I'll reserve my next comment in all likelihood until this comes through, because we might as well. Oh, yeah. Here we go. You'll love this. Captain Dave.
Hey, guys. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Are you calling to be an opportunist?
No, I just turned the program on. As a matter of fact, I just wanted to call to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, that's very nice of you. Same to you and yours. This was a good year, and looks to me like we're going to have another one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't figure out why I lost interest, but I did look at that debate there a couple nights ago. Mm. I don't know what country them folks are living in, but things in my country.
Well, you know, maybe they just spend all their time listening to CNN, so they don't really know what's going on.
But anyway, like I said, I'm going to be home for the next couple of months. I'm not going to be traveling for a while, so I'm going to be spending a nice winter here in St. Augustine.
Yeah, things could be worse, couldn't it?
Actually, if they live in a suburb of Washington.
My first year in a while, I won't be in Jamaica.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy the stateside celebrations.
Yeah, I'm doing the seven fishes.
You know,
I am an Italian guy, and I'm making the seven fishes for Christmas Eve.
Good. Have fun. Yeah. We appreciate the call. Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Holiday.
Happy New Year, too.
It is a bit ironic, considering our trivia question.
Yeah, it is.
That they're talking about how bad the economy is, yet a pretty high number of the wealthiest suburbs in the country are in D.C.
Kind of why we're leaning that way for that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, one of the articles that I've been following for a couple months said that Obama was going to seek his final revenge, and he'll get it on December 18th, 2019. So I watched with interest on December 18th, and we had already set 6 records before Wednesday, and we set another record on Wednesday, and then we set 3 more on Thursday and 3 more on Friday. I thought, man, if his revenge was finally to give us a good economy after he's gone for 3 years, good for him. What a guy, huh?
Yeah.
Well, after Thursday's records, you would have thought, you go to a financial page, Yahoo Finance, Market Watch, something like that, and there ought to be something about it. But no. Yahoo said private colleges are in trouble and their creditors are worried. The next one was super debt. Expert explains why student loans are particularly brutal. Okay, how about Saturday morning then, after Friday's next ones? I'll give you that in a second. Now, I bet Mr. Leroy is calling in for a reason.
Yes, sir. What was the low?
The low was 8, and the high was 10. You want to take a guess?
I'll just say 9.
You got it.
Excellent. We have a winner.
That was tough.
all the people before you did your legwork for you.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about the NASDAQ earlier.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember what it was in 1987?
Let's see.
Well, I can just tell you out. It started out in 87. I was having a great year.
Okay.
In NASDAQ. And man, did that go to the dump.
I can imagine.
You know, wow.
The year 87 was a very pivotal year that most people don't understand. because that was a massive tax change that year. And while the world thought it was great, it nearly put me under as a manufacturer and a property owner. It was probably the single biggest crock for a tax package ever. And you know why? This is very little known. It was passed under Reagan, but it was written by Dollar Jim Brady. Remember him?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's why Reagan got this one stuck to him by the Senate in the form of Brady. And I just never could understand it. That's when they invented the stupid term passive income. That's when they knocked all the rental properties values down by 35 to 50% overnight. You couldn't deduct your interest for credit cards anymore. And all this just kind of happened overnight. We had no phase-in periods or anything. And it ruined everything. And for the manufacturers, it was absolutely devastating. So I'm very sympathetic to your losses back then, because they were grounded in stupid legislation, as they so often are.
Well, anyway, I appreciate your show, and you and your families have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you. You too. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all that. And you'll be hearing from us in the mail.
Might be all a right. little bit yeah. after Christmas. We're going to be in and out this week, so look forward to the new year.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye.
Let's see. Saturday morning, this morning, I wake up, set 13 records out of 15 closes. Certainly they're going to talk about the market and how wonderful everything is right now, right? Well, maybe not so much. I tried. Let's see. Market Watch said stocks, they were covering some stocks that had a bad year. And then there was an economist asking if the consumer is overextended. So I went over to Yahoo Finance, and it says how the Fed is going to cut aggressively in 2020. That one really caught my eye. Why does the Fed cut? To stimulate the economy. Does this economy need stimulating? No. So why is he doing it? Well, he's doing it for the same reason that everybody else that I've been talking about for the last couple minutes does it. They're trying hard to cover up the success that Trump is having, and they're not succeeding, in my mind, period. So just business as usual out there. All right, next thing. I told you last week, this is my annual Christmas wish list from Congress Day, and I've got it, and strangely enough, I was going to do it last week, and I'm so glad that I didn't, because it changed dramatically yesterday. And it changed when President Trump signed the massive spending law, budget law, into effect. And the senators, and I'm giving the Senate its due on this one. There were a couple of senators who were trying to get the SECURE Act, the one we've been talking about, and I'll get into the details of that. They were trying to get it attached to something to try to get it in this year, because it was being waylaid by Patty Murray, senator from Washington, and there was only one way to get around her filibuster of it, and that was to attach it to something that they had to agree to. And it had already passed the House, something like 417-3. You know, one of the few times that people could agree on something good. Well, congratulations to the U.S. Senate. They got it attached. I'm not sure the exact form it'll take yet. I was talking with Adam during the break. We don't know for sure. There's some things we can say for sure. There were some things that got changed, some things that probably didn't make it. But let's start, and I'm going to tell you what my first wish lists for the ones that would have been last week, where we would have been. First one was make personal income tax rates, which were lowered in 2018, permanent, because they were set to expire after 2025. Well, there had been no progress on that. But one of the proposals and one of the versions of the budget as part of the SECURE Act was that they would add a few years to that. I didn't see anything that said make them permanent, but I found one that said add a few years. I can't verify that. In everything that was out this morning, and there isn't very much because people have to put the whole thing together, it was something to the tune of 740 pages. So the details, of course, the devil's going to be in those details. But that appears to at least be talked about, but I couldn't guarantee you that they've done anything about it. Number two, reduce capital gains rates, which were not done in 2017. Well, they were not done this year either, so I got a big old strikeout on that one. Wish number three, dramatically increase contribution limits for IRAs. They did not do that, but here's a but. At 70 and a half, you are no longer allowed to contribute to a traditional IRA. That is being lifted. You are going to be able to do it now. You have to remember that that contribution is dependent on having enough earned income to cover it. That's not Social Security and pensions. So you have to be working either at a self-employment type job or a W-2 type job, but you will be able to continue making them, even though you're going to reach a point where you have to take out your required minimums every year. You'll be able to put some of them back in and deduct them. And that, for people like me who intend to keep working for a while, is a wonderful provision. So I thank them for that. The other part of this RMD discussion will come in right after the break because it's related to this. There's really some complexity out there. And if you're a geek like us, it's kind of fascinating complexity. But we'll see you right after the break. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanley Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanley Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanley.
And I'm Adam Vanley.
And we've been, first off, this segment brought to you, as usual, by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. And, of course, you can call us at 222-8255. Got a few minutes left in the show prior to the big Christmas break. Can't wait. And I want to remind everybody again that we will be here next week live. So it should be all kinds of fun things to talk about after another week. All right, we're talking about the contributions and the required minimums from the IRAs. And there are two things going on that affect this. And there's levels of complexity that we won't even attempt to get on air because it's really geeky stuff. But if you're working past 70 and a half now, you can make that contribution. But what used to happen was people did Roth IRA backdoor conversions, as we called them, where you couldn't contribute to your Roth because you made too much money, and those limitations are still there. So they'd contribute to a traditional IRA, not be able to deduct it, and then convert it later to a Roth IRA. Well, that, for people turning 70 and a half, went away because there is no allowable contribution to a traditional IRA. Well, now there is. So that seems to be back on the table, which is just another reason to like that this act got its way in there. I'll have more details as time goes on.
That's a good rule because if you're working, you should be able to save for retirement. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're...
If you're doing a W-2 job, you can contribute to your 401k.
Right.
And in fact, that's so much better that you don't even have to take an RMD as long as you're still working.
Yeah, it is a better rule. But for whatever reason, the rules on IRAs are not as favorable as they are with 401ks. The amounts are not as favorable. They really need to address all of that. They're starting to now, which is great, but they have a long ways to go.
Yep, I absolutely agree. All right, my wish number four was to repeal all estate taxes or death taxes and all gift taxes. That was basically just not touched. So I lose on that one, too. Number five, eliminate the Clinton-era tax increase on Social Security benefits for certain income levels. It was first off, it was none, and we were promised there'd never be tax on it, but that went away a long time ago, of course. And it became 50% taxable. Well, then under Clinton, it went for higher incomes, and I'm talking about some meager highs on this. Basically subsistence, that it would be 85% taxable, a number that came from somewhere that, enough said. Wish number six, by the way, they didn't touch that, eliminate the alternative minimum tax, which was implemented in 1969 to punish a few wealthy Americans. It was eliminated in the 2017 Act for corporations, but it was maintained for individuals. I do not see anything so far in the write-up of this that's going away.
It's just it's a really stupid law, and it needs to go away.
Yes.
Wasn't there something in 2017 that made it harder to actually fall under the AMT rules, though?
They do it every year. It's always been a catch-up provision. They do one December 30th or whatever, that extends the increases in the base amounts where it's applicable. If we had attributed this to the law itself without those exceptions every year, people would have been paying thousands and thousands more.
I have a friend in California who told me that he and his wife were falling under AMT every year, and when the tax law changed, they no longer had that, but now they lost all the salt deduction. It was kind of a trade-off.
Yeah, definitely. There was also talk about the salt limits being gone or higher or something like that. I believe that got thrown out at the last minute. I'll let you know the second I hear for sure. All right. The other things in the SECURE Act that were not part of my wish list, the first one is the big positive, the restoration of medical expense deductions. And how many times in the last year have I been on this show just railing against the total elimination of medical expense deductions? Because it only affects a few people, but it affects them on the worst years of their lives when they have huge medical expenses, and this offers a little financial assistance to them. Well, it's only back through 2020 so far as I know, but that's another year better than nothing. And the coolest thing of all is that the 7.5% or 10% limitation on your AGI used to be, if you're under 65 to deduct medical, you could only deduct what was above 10% of your adjusted gross. But if you're over 65, it's 7.5. Well, for 2020 only so far, you can deduct your medical expenses over 7.5% regardless of your age. And this is something that I am very grateful for. Whether or not it ever impacts me, I don't care. These people who are having these big expenses needed help, and they got it. Thank you, whoever. Now, the big negative, and this is the one that's probably the most controversial thing amongst people like us, the loss of the stretch IRA provision. When you inherit an IRA today, you will be able to take your required minimums from it. You're forced to do it, but you could do it based on your own life expectancy. And that means an inherited IRA could last 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Great. And I think may need to explain why that's a benefit. So if you if you're working and you have a nice income, you don't need the extra money. Of course, no one complains about getting extra money. But if you really truly don't need it and you don't need more taxable income, and then this RMD forces you to add to your taxable income every year that you have to do an RMD on it. So not only does it add it, but it adds it at your marginal tax rate, which is the highest rate that you pay on any money that you earn. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're in the 22% bracket. This gives you another $10,000 a year or whatever the RMD is, and that's all going to come out at 22%. So your tax bill is going to go up by $2,200. Yep. That's a significant amount of money.
And you might cross brackets, and it'll be even worse than that.
Right. So now it's even worse. So if you have to take, let's say it's a $100,000 inherited IRA, and you have to get it all out in 5 years, that means
that's today's law is 5 years. It's got to be if you don't choose the stretch.
Right.
It did go to 10.
Okay.
So which now is you have some 10 years consolation.
So that's not that bad, but you can't stretch it over your lifetime anymore. You have to get it all out in 10.
But here's what happens. If you're doing well at the time and you don't really want any extra income, you can wait 9.9 years,
then take it
let
out
it all grow, year. And then take it out as a lump sum.
Right.
Yeah, you'll get hit that year, but you'll have an awful lot of build-up time.
That's true. And you can also plan it if you have a job that isn't necessarily consistent in the amount that you make, or if you own a business and there are years that you make less money, you could take more out in that year. So there are ways around it. But losing the stretch provision is going to hurt a small amount of people who inherit large IRAs.
That's absolutely true. So it was something of a compromise. It didn't go the way I would really like it. But that thing about contributing, I think, is a fundamental fairness issue. And they did that well. All right, let's see. Part-time workers can now participate in 401k plans. So if you're working for a company part-time and you're a permanent part-time employee, you've always been locked out of the 401k. Not anymore. Repealed are things from the Affordable Care Act. first one was the Cadillac tax. Now, why would they repeal a Cadillac tax? Let's see. Who has the best and most expensive health insurance plans in the country? Could it be unions? Ah, could be. So, of course, they deferred it every year after they passed it. They had to pass it so that the numbers would come out right. So then they deferred it and blew the numbers on it. Well, they finally just gave in and got rid of it. The medical devices tax, universally hated by everyone on the way in, and it's gone now, finally. Isn't that wonderful? The individual mandate is gone. It was effectively gone because President Trump lowered the tax rate on it to zero, but you were still breaking the law if you didn't buy it. Your penalty was just zero. I'd rather not be a lawbreaker, thank you. So if you don't want to buy or can't buy health insurance now, no problem. It's perfectly legal. All right, let's see. New parents may take a distribution from their 401k plans. That's got a $10,000 lifetime maximum. Deductibility of the PMI, the principal mortgage insurance, has been restored to those who did qualify. They can deduct it again if they still qualify. Losses on sale of principal residence, the short sale problem that was going on for so long.
Right.
That it reverted back to that being taxable income. That's now gone.
Yep.
It's extended a little further now that it's not going to be.
Not as big of an issue as it was 10 years ago. But
right. Above-the-line tuition expenses restored. There are a few more. I'll have a much better idea, all of it, by next week, and we'll report it. Meanwhile, we have to get out of here. I want everybody to have a safe and happy holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And listen to this show where we will tell you the truth. And next week ought to be a lot of fun. We'll see you then.